Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist, and we come to you live every single Thursday, and we talk about business, your business, the business you want to have, the business that's thriving in the face of COVID. And we have experts who talk about business planning, financial planning, organizational development, leadership, even your health. And today we're going to have a very special guest. You'll want to get into the flow of this one, and I'll tell you why being in the flow is important. But before we introduce our guest, I always have to let you know I never drive. I never take this journey alone. My co-pilot is Lori. Let them know you're here.
Hello, it's Lori Miller from LGC Interior Design, and we're coming back at you again on another Thursday night. And we have a special guest talking about the most important thing, and that's called money. Well, second most important thing, maybe breathing is first. But yes, finances are important, and it's going to be a great show. And I just want to remind everyone, we have 2.5 weeks left for the leukemia fundraising campaign. So at LGC Interiors, if you're on Instagram or Facebook, and if you can donate, every little bit helps, maybe $5, and do a share. So thank you. Thank you for your prior donations. And tonight's guest is Steve Lichtenstein. Steve, if you can introduce yourself, tell everybody what you do and who you are.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Thanks, Ted, and thanks, Lori. It's great to be with everybody in this this podcast medium. This is a new thing for me, and I'm really looking forward to it, spending an hour with you all.
Great, perfect. Hey, and before you continue, Stephen, if anyone would like to call in, and we're talking about wealth management, wealth accumulation, saving. And we're going to talk about it possibly in a way that you haven't heard before. So I invite you to call in, and I'm even going to encourage you to ask Stephen some of your toughest questions around this. He does this for a living. So this may be one of those shows you may not want to try all this stuff at home without expert advice. So you can call in. The number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. 1640. So, Stephen, who are you and what do you do?
Wow, that's a loaded question, Ted. I'll start off by just telling. I'll tell a little story of how I got into this business because it was really quite accidental. Starting this journey about 30 years ago, after leaving the music business. It's funny, I didn't get my start as a financial guru until the market crash of 1987, and my family business went into a tailspin. I was working with my dad, and actually one of my dad's friends who would come into our retail store said, hey, Steve, you're very organized and insightful. Can you picture yourself not working with your dad 20 years from now, and what would you be doing? And I said, you know what, deep down I'll be thinking one day I want to own my own business and be my own boss and not take direction from my dad all the time, and I want to be responsible for creating the possibility of financial success for myself and my family. So after I realized that the family business wasn't big enough for the two of us, I headed into the world of finance quite accidentally. And I basically went on a journey of teaching myself financial empowerment. And over time, it hit me that if I could do this each and every day, I could invent a new way of solving new problems and avoiding mistakes that others have made in their financial plans. And I was very fortunate early on in my career to meet this gentleman named Sid Friedman, who said if you really want to do good for your clients and you want a commitment to excellence, then you got to promise a lot and deliver more. And that's what led me to my core mission of becoming an advocate for the retired persons my clients would one day become. And that's how I entered the business after starting off working in rock and roll on tour with the band in Hatuna, Roger McGuinn, David Crosby, then working for my dad for 7 years. And luckily, I found the right place. This has become my mission, and I've been here. This June will be 30 years with the Forest Hills Financial Group and Park Avenue Securities.
Wow, interesting background. So you Wait, you said you traveled with a band?
Yeah, the band from the famous Last Waltz. I was on the road with them. Had some memorable shows with the Grateful Dead. I remember one in particular in Syracuse. And to me, that sounds like another lifetime of one of my three careers.
So you went from being would it be fair to say you were a deadhead or not really?
Absolutely. That would be totally fair, Ted.
So you went from being a deadhead to managing wealth.
Correct. And it's funny because a lot of the people that I met, you know, on the road in the beginning, you know, mostly roadies, and they're people that are working for record companies, and
right.
I don't think they had that much money at the time, but it really, I think what that prepared me for is just, you know, wanting to be around people and meeting new people all the time and going to new places, and it was very exciting. I lived on the West Coast for a year and started the Michelob street scene with a gentleman. It started the San Diego Jazz Festival. So, like the Grateful Dead would say, what a long, strange trip it's been.
That's wild. So you went, so like the Parrot Heads, right, which went into wealth.
Yeah, the Parrot Heads, that's an entirely different, you know, group of people. You know, it's the Deadheads are more hippies, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't really know how to characterize the Buffett people, but the people that follow Jimmy Buffett probably have a lot more money than the people that follow the Grateful Dead.
Maybe, I'm not so sure.
So I guess I should start going to some of those concerts.
Right.
So,
you could have some fun.
So what I guess I'm going to do this backwards. What makes your wealth management services unique? Like, what distinguishes you from everyone else? I'm going in backwards, and then we'll get to like what you do specifically.
Yeah, that's cool. So, you know, we've built a concierge team. I have, you know, about four or five people that I work with pretty closely in my organization. They're all younger than me, which is great. So clients see that there's a continuity and there's a built-in, you know, business plan. I'm doing this for 30 years. I hope to do it, I wouldn't say another 30, but maybe another 10, 15, 20. You never know. And it's great that I have, you know, a whole team of people that complement what I do. And it's not just wealth management. You know, we started off in the early days selling insurance and helping people to protect their human life value. And over time, as your clients, you know, get older, and everybody's on two paths in their lifetime. You're on the path of accumulation, but you're also on a path of protection. As your castle grows, your moat should grow around it. And we've just morphed into wealth management. You know, I got my start in that probably in 2005, so I've been doing that for the last 21 years, built up a nice book of business and a lot of clients that don't only have their insurance with me for protection, but also do their retirement planning with me. And currently what we're really focusing on right now is not so much assets under management, but something that you and I, Ted, have spoken about before, something called income under management, helping people to prevent what we call lifestyle creep from just happening. And, you know, the psychology behind it is, and this is part of what's in our DNA, you know, today we're driven by instant gratification. And many of us that have been around for a long time understand that gratification, you know, is something that must be forged. The problem today is that 78% of United States consumers live paycheck to paycheck. The average person,
wow.
I'm not saying this is my clients, but the average person, if they all of a sudden had an unexpected bill, like they had to replace the tires on their 4x4 or their air conditioner broke down like mine did today, they don't have the money to pay for that unexpected life event. And it's not just the people, Ted, that, you know, you think it's everyday people, you know, middle class, it's also wealthy people. A very interesting fact that I've come across recently is that 80% of former NFL players go bankrupt after just 2 years of retiring.
Wow.
So pretty amazing.
Devastating.
It really is. And so what it's really driven our business to become is just more of like a wealth management advisor. Those are a dime a dozen. You know, to answer your question, so many people manage assets and they're great accumulators and they're great at showing you how the money goes in. But where we're different is that we're true fiduciaries. A fiduciary is somebody that always has to have what's in the best interest of the client at hand, not just, you know, helping somebody come up with a solution that's suitable. That's a low bar. That's a low standard. Best interest means that it's in the client's best interest from all aspects. And the problem is that today we live in this digital society and we are surrounded by this unconscious consumption. It's all around us. On a typical day, the average person, and this I think will blow your mind, the average person receives 4,000 to 10,000 highly targeted ads on a daily basis. And you don't even realize this is going on. From the moment you wake up and you check your cell phone to check your messages, you go on Facebook, you look at the news, then you wake up as you're shaving or getting ready, you're listening to television. If you're in the car and you're listening to the radio, you're getting bombarded. You're seeing trucks pass you with advertising on them, billboards. This is what's going on. And we realize this, and we realize the thing that most people struggle with is making sense of all the noise that's out there. And what it led us to come upon is a foolproof solution to prevent this lifestyle creep and this unconscious consumption that goes on when, you know, people are just moving through life. And this is the tip. This is the way it typically happens. You get your first job, then eventually, hopefully you stay there and it was a good job. If not, you move, and then you get a raise. And then when you get the raise, you buy the house. You buy a bigger house, you get a car, and before you know it, you're caught in this, you know, this cash flow food chain. Your income's going up, absolutely. You know, picture two parallel lines going up through time. Your income's going up, generally, you know, maybe a little bumpy at places, but usually it goes in an upward trajectory. But following that very closely is your lifestyle, the money that you spend. And what's really important is the difference between those two lines. And that's what we call free cash flow. And that's what most people don't really have, is the free cash flow.
Well, wait,
they don't
know
what it is.
If you live in New York, you may see 8,000 ads, especially if you go through Times Square every day. That's about 4,000 right there.
Absolutely. Yep. And but we do business in all 50 states. I believe I'm licensed in all 50 states, if not maybe 48. I don't think I have any clients in Alaska, but I'm pretty sure every other state I do, either through inheritance or through word of mouth. And really what we're really trying to help people do right now is recognize, look, this is what you earn, this is the financial engine that creates everything, your paycheck. The problem is that most people take their paycheck and it goes directly into their checking account. And from the checking account, they got to deal with their housing costs, their groceries, car payments, insurance, financial products, and then subscriptions, Netflix and Hulu. And then you have Amazon. You're sitting in your easy chair. How many people on this call, you know, were not sitting in their chair and thought of something when they saw one of these subliminal messages and said, I could have that, and I don't even have to leave the house to get it, and you're on Amazon. I can't tell you how many things I bought, you know, from Amazon. But then we have dining out, dining in, takeout. Travel has been a little abated, but we're going to see that come back.
Right. See, that's – so, I kind of have two questions, right, the average age of your clients, right? Because when people think of wealth management, they often think of someone who says, well, you know, we'll manage your wealth if you have a minimum of $5 million. Maybe there's one that will do $1 million, but – Is that another unique advantage that you offer? Because here's sort of the context. New York, for example, if you live here, even this metro area, there's so much competing for your attention in terms of advertisements, and you know, taxis on the top of taxis, buses, all of that, and there's so much to do. This is the land of a million restaurants, and so a young person may have the mindset of, you know, you only live once and I'm just going to enjoy my life. And so how do you get people and you know, metropolises like this to sort of settle down and see that their lifestyle is creeping into their wealth accumulation.
Yeah, so you laid it out perfectly. After all those things that we discussed, you know, you get the paycheck, you have your expenses, and then money goes into savings maybe. The average person in America saves 0 to 5%. You know, we believe and know, doing this for so long, that the success formula is saving 15 to 20% of your gross annual income, right? So if somebody's making $100,000 a year in New York, which is a pretty decent salary, you know, people out of college may be making, you know, less than that, but maybe after a year or two, they're at that level. And they need to be shown very early on that they need to be saving at least $15,000 of that $100,000. And maybe it goes into a 401k or something. However, many people don't understand that a 401k is not savings. It's investing, and it's a retirement, and it's money that's locked up in a box for 30 years that you really can't access easily without restriction. So what we want to do is, in order to create financial freedom and increase savings, what you have to do is you have to flip the order of the way things work. So this is where we really, you know, stand apart from everybody else. We understand you have all these things that you're going to, you know, going to be lifestyle and things that are discretionary and fixed expenses, your mortgage, your utilities and things like that. And then, you know, on the weekends you like to go to the movies or go out to a restaurant or drive up to the Catskills, whatever it is, and then you save. So what we do is we flip it. We set it up so that people are paying themselves first. Savings gets a priority. The first thing we do with a client is set up a reservoir whereby we'll accumulate on a minimum, Ted, 3 to 6 months of expenses. So it's a comfort zone. It's a target that we set. So if somebody's, you know, if making $10,000 a month and they have, let's say, $7,000 a month of expenses, then there's $3,000 of free cash flow there. It's $36,000 a year, yet they only save five. Where did the other $31,000 go? Well, that's what we do with a client. So in our first meeting, we sit down with them. We introduce them to our structure of putting savings, expenses second. And then we take them through a second exercise where we do something called baseline mapping, whereby we, you know, we verify what their monthly expenses are for their fixed expenses. We look at, you know, what is not fixed, what's discretionary, what hits their credit card at the end of the month. That's the dining out. That's the movies, maybe concerts.
Right.
Whatever, you know, maybe it's, you know, doing travel soccer with their family and, you know, going to Pennsylvania and staying there for the weekend and paying for hotels. And ultimately, the result is we create a wealth accumulation account that sits in between the paycheck and the checking account. The money goes from the paycheck into the wealth accumulation account. And from the wealth accumulation account, we set up these automatic drips which cover the expenses. Most people's expenses hit in the beginning of the month, so we'll have maybe 75% of the money come early in the month. Maybe some things come up in the middle of the month, so we'll have another 25% hit there. And everything else that doesn't get spent at the end of the month, we have metrics and technology, which the client sees on their smartphone device as an app. Yeah, so we provide an app, and for the first year, we don't charge for the app. So they get a 12-month free ride to kind of check it out, see if it works. We try and build up their reservoir. Once the reservoir hits the target amount and it surpasses that, just think of like a water, you know, reservoir, and it's filling up. As it fills up, it reaches a certain level of sustainability, of comfort and confidence. And then they say, Steve, I see on my smartphone I've got $10,000 above the reservoir. What do I do with it? And our response, you know, myself or one of my flow strategists on my team will say, well, you got two choices. You could either save it or you can spend it. You can spend it with total confidence, knowing that you have the target amount and everything's working. You make the choice. But understand, it's not like we're putting you on a budget. We don't like budgets, right? Budgets remind people of diets, and diets cause people to starve. And starving is not a very comfortable place to be in, and we don't do that.
So just to confirm, are you some of the wealth management companies say you have to have a net worth of $5 million or $1 million, 10, you know, or more? How do you address that with your client?
Yeah, so interesting. You're right. If you looked at wealth management advisors, you're going to see on average, and the levels keep going up. It used to be 100,000, 250. Now I see 500,000 a lot. I see a million to access certain institutional pricing. We can help people access institutional pricing for a lot less. People open up flow accounts the very beginning. It could be, you know, almost nothing to start. What we're doing is we're not focusing on the assets under management at first. What we're doing is we're focusing on income under management. So if we have a couple in the metro area and say together, you know, they're making, say the wife makes $100,000, right, and she's working as a nurse, and the husband owns his own business, and he's doing construction, and he makes $80,000, so that's $180,000. The way we look at the client is not how much they have in their bank account or their investments now. We say to ourselves, you know what, these people have great potential. They're making $180,000. Over the next 10 years, they're going to make $1.8 million without, you know, increases. If you figure a 2% increase, you're talking about over $2 million they're going to bring in over the next 10 years. How can we help them become more efficient, economical, make smart decisions, and then we're going to benefit from capturing that free cash flow and deploying it into the many products that we help people implement, which could be anything from a term life insurance policy to a tax-free muni bond fund to a structured portfolio to permanent life insurance to Roth IRAs, or people that like to create passive income streams will help them, you know, accumulate money for a deposit on a piece of investment property that could create other financial engines. And the main thing is, when we create more financial engines, those flow into the reservoir also. And the ultimate effect, Ted, is that it takes pressure off of the paycheck. They don't have to make as much. They don't have to work as long. They don't have to get that second job. They get confidence. On the app, we have these milestones, and it's very achievement-oriented. So you see when you hit a certain milestone, you get like a reward, you know, that shows up like an icon that says, hey, you hit a milestone. Congratulations. Okay. And it signals them to give us a call.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. So your service is interactive then.
Absolutely. And it is driven by the app. The app is very transparent. It's visible. They could see what the difference is. There's three types of money. There's inflows, your paycheck, and any other residual income. You have royalties, rent income. Then you have outflows, certainly, which are your expenses we described already. And then you have a third type of money. Well, I'll introduce a new term to everybody right now. It's called capital allocations. Oftentimes, we know there's a schedule event that's going to come up. It might be something like setting up a bar mitzvah for your child or a bat mitzvah. It could be a wedding for your daughter. It could be a vacation after a pandemic where you want to go to Africa on safari. It's visible, and we track the last 30 days. And then on a timeline, you see your timeline each month. You could see the widening between the line of the income and the expenses. So what we try and do is, we try and decouple the spending from the income. So you'll see the bottom line, the expense line, start to pull away from the income line, and we create that gap. And through that gap, that's where real wealth is created, and, you know, where the people can connect with us by texting us, calling us directly from the app, scheduling an appointment with us. It could be for as little as 15 minutes just to check in and do a check-in on something or to adjust the drips. Let's say they say, you know what, my expenses went up, I got a bigger car, the money that I was getting automatically out of my wealth accumulation account is no longer sufficient. We need to change that. We can do it on the fly. And then ultimately, we're a community of people whereby we share information, we share articles, we share ideas and concepts about building your flow, reaching your target. And, you know, that's really how the magic, I think, really happens. So to answer your question, sure, there is no minimum other than, if you've ever seen those commercials where it says, hey, you need a new car, as long as you got a job, we'll guarantee you a car. We'll guarantee anybody.
You did another commercial where in 15 minutes you can increase your reservoir and decide what to do with it, right? 15 minutes.
Right, and you could, and they could start off small. It doesn't have to be anything large. We have one client right now. It's very interesting. He's the son of one of my longtime clients. He's in his second year in college. He's there on a baseball scholarship. He opened up a flow account with as little as $1,000, and then he adds to it, and he gets such a charge out of it. It could be from doing a little side job. A lot of people have in this gig economy, they've got their little side hustle. Maybe somebody's
right.
selling baseball cards. Maybe they're doing something on eBay, and instead of just spending those checks, they're depositing them using our app. It goes right into their account, and they start earning interest immediately.
That's actually really good. I mean, especially that, and that was part of my question, asking the average age of your clients, because it sounds like people who are younger would really need this in any city or small town in the United States to start thinking
yep.
about wealth accumulation, as opposed to, hey, I'll think about that when I'm, 40 or something like that.
Yeah, I'm glad you went down this path, because you just brought up something very important I probably should have started off with, and it doesn't really matter what age you are, but young people especially need this. The bottom line is that the outside world is designed to take money away from us, just in general. It's the way all companies work. They all want our money. They want it on a regular basis. They want to hold on to it as long as possible and then give us back as little as possible while they earn interest on our money, because they don't manufacture anything. They're intermediaries. So what we do is we take these people, whether they're young, right, and in college, and they really haven't started a family yet, and we take them through an exercise that we are certain will have a major impact on their success. And it's all about the structure of how we set it up. And then we convince them that the advantage of starting now rather than waiting until you're 30 or 40 or, you have all these other expenses, is that you'll capture and save every increase in pay that you're going to get over your career. By doing this, we're able to change the path of their consumption by decoupling it from their income, and it's very powerful. You start to see people responding to it, because in the beginning we really hold their hands. It's a little bit of change for people. We're actually introducing a greater level of control for them over their success, and we understand that what we do is basically studying economics. We're macro economists. Economics is studying the science of scarcity, and in economics, we understand that money is finite. It's not, my father used to say money doesn't grow from trees, and when I would be asking him, for money to go out on the weekend, go get a job, money's finite.
Right.
I have what I need. I have to plan for my retirement. You need to become self-sufficient. So we want to teach people at a very early age what to do with their money. However, again, to answer your question, we don't just work with younger people. We use flow and the structure of flow with people that are retiring. So I'm working with a gentleman right now in Pennsylvania. He's 66. His wife is a little older. And we're looking at all their sources of income that are going to be coming in, two Social Securities, one pension, a deferred compensation plan. He owns an annuity that's going to create income, can turn on at any time. And then we want to talk about creating other financial engines to help him pay for the taxes that he's going to have to pay on the required minimum distributions when he's in retirement. And people that retire, and this is a very important point to many people listening in this podcast tonight, when you retire, every day looks like Saturday. Every day is Saturday in retirement. Think about
right.
it. Ted, what's the most expensive day of the week for you?
Most expensive day of the week? Probably Saturday.
Yeah. Why Saturday, Ted?
I have more time to spend more money. And, I'm out and about.
Right, you're out and about. That's the day you go to go look for the appliance that you have to replace. Maybe you want to go out. I still collect vinyl record albums, so I'll go bury myself in a record store for, an hour,
right.
an hour and a half. It's also the day that maybe you get together with friends. At night, you go out to dinner. Pre-pandemic, we would go out to shows or movies. The kids come, we take the children out sometimes on a Saturday. That could get expensive when you have six kids like we do. So Saturday is a very expensive day, and when you're in retirement, you have to look at 20 to 30 years of Saturdays. And if you think about it, two people, a couple, a couple that are 65 years old that need at least $5 a meal for three meals a day. Now, this is like not a glorious outcome, but it's sustainability. You need at least $5 a meal. You can get a bacon and egg and cheese in New York, Ted, you know, for $5. You could get a Subway for $5 or $6 maybe. And then you could go to a cocktail hour, a happy hour, right, buy one drink and eat off the hors d'oeuvre bar. So two people spending $30 a day, 365 days a year for 20 years, we call that the rule of 209. That's $209,000 for two people to eat just three meals a day for 20 years. You need $209,000 just for food. We didn't even get to the Medicare and medical costs for a 30-year retirement. So as you can tell, especially in the New York State area, you're going to need a lot of money. And again, people don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan. They fail to put the pieces in place that create this great structure for them so they when they're older and they're no longer working. And it's no longer, you know, man or woman at work, it's money at work.
Wow. So you've accumulated an enormous amount of knowledge and wisdom in saving, accumulating wealth, and just managing money in general.
I'll tell you one thing. Knowledge is something you learn. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge in your everyday life. One of my mentors, Len Rainier from Minneapolis, taught me that. Knowledge is something we can all learn, but wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge to your everyday life. Some people may call that common sense. We that have been around for a while and raised, you know, a family understand the difference between knowledge and wisdom.
So you have six children. So technically you have to be a product of this yourself, of what you said. You're a product.
Absolutely. You know, what I always say to people is I'm never going to ask you to do anything that I have not myself. And I'm not saying what I've done is right for everybody. Everybody's got their own different situation, customized. However, I eat my own cooking. Every product that I've ever helped people implement, I've owned. So when I approach some people, you know, to buy long-term care, and most people don't even look at it until they're in their 50s or 60s, I purchased long-term care when I was 45 years old. I was thinking about my tomorrows, and it gave me more confidence, you know, to help people make the right decisions for themselves. I know the products intimately, but I own them, and that's why I've never asked somebody to do something that I don't really understand. And I think a lot of people today, if you go around, especially if you talk to younger people, everybody is out there. They're all buying Bitcoin and Coinbase and Ethereum. Basically, they all own the same four stocks, you know, or strategies, they might call it. And everybody thinks it's the great new thing. But you know what? We go back over history. In the 50s, you know, you had the tulip mania. That was followed by the what was it called? The chinchilla. You know, people were raising chinchillas in their house to make money. And then we had the real estate craze that crashed in 2008. You know, the dot-com, you know, flurry. And now this is just the latest, you know, the latest craze right now. Yeah, it's a bubble.
It's
absolutely a bubble. Right. It's a crypto bubble. And it's not that I don't believe in the concept and the theory of crypto and Bitcoin and stuff. I just don't understand it well enough. And I've seen too many people lose their passwords and get hacked and lose their wealth. And I don't think you build a firm foundation by starting with investing and speculating first. I think you start a good foundation by building solid building blocks. That has never changed. And my main job is to help people worry in order. Why start by worrying about retirement when you get your first job and start worrying about maxing out your 401k? Let's first worry about protecting your most valuable asset, your ability to earn an income. So we should be talking about how to supplement your personal individual disability income. Not maxing out your 401k. Most people get it wrong. they worry in the wrong order, and our primary job is to help people worry in the right order.
Interesting. And so how do people receive that? Do you get much pushback, resistance?
Well, you do in the beginning because people read, you know, people read things in popular media. They speak to what they suspect are experts. There's so much information out there today that, quite frankly, people are overwhelmed, and they really don't know. So they do push back a lot. So we have to take them through a discovery process. One thing that I've always learned, and I think, Ted, you and I talked about this in our past. We've gone through similar education in the past. One of the things that I've really focused on is being a person, you have a choice. You can live in abundance. You can live in scarcity. People that live in scarcity, you know, worry about hanging on to every dollar. They're forced to live off their interest only. They don't want to pay more in taxes. They worry, how am I going to leave something to the next generation? They don't have a permission slip to pay down their wealth, interest and principal, systematically, not worrying about going broke and still being able to leave a legacy. So once we convince them that there's a better way and there's a better way to structure it, and we're going to be there to hold your hand, after we finish the baseline mapping meeting, which is our second meeting, our third meeting is then something we call calibration. Now, calibration is very interesting. And no matter what you do, just think about your car, think about your air conditioning, think about, you know, anything that has to be, you know, adjusted. When you get I'm a bike rider. After doing a couple of hundred miles, the chain gets loose. You have to recalibrate that. You have to recalibrate the brakes. We do the same thing with people's financial plans. So once we get to the third meeting with a client, we're living in calibration forever. It never stops. That's where our meetings begin, and they never end. They just get adjusted and tweaked to account for their new stage and phase of life.
So, right, and I used to race bikes. You also have to chew your rims, which means your rims go a little crooked. The spokes loosen, you tighten them so that they're perfectly straight and you're not losing energy.
Absolutely.
Going in other directions.
Right. Great analogy. And that's also why, to use that analogy, that's why people clip in, so that you're not just gaining, you know, momentum when you're going, you know, on the downward cycle. It's also you got momentum when you're going up. And that's what a financial engine does. And anything that's an engine has to be calibrated and recalibrated, not just once or twice, but always. So that's a great analogy. You know, biking, and also your chain gets loosened. The derailleur has to be arranged. If not, it's going to start clicking. So again, after a couple of hundred miles, you got to bring it into the bike shop and, you know, let them do their thing. And that's kind of what we do when somebody comes in for an annual review with us. We recalibrate.
Right, because you're talking about lifestyle creep, and you said you get resistance initially, and I guess it doesn't matter the age of the person. Like, people have the mindset, well, I worked hard for my money. I should have the right to spend it the way I want. And that's where their lifestyle creeps into their ability to accumulate wealth. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, it's absolutely what happens. And you're right. It doesn't matter what phase you're at. You know, when you're pre-age 30, you know, you're still going out, you know, maybe you're going out to the bars, you're going to New Orleans, you're going to Nashville, you're spending money, you're going to bachelor parties, but then you get married and you have, you know, you buy your first house and you have kids, and then you're spending things on kid stuff and, you know, these soccer things. And then you have the older person that says, just like you described, I worked really hard for my whole life. I want to get to spend and enjoy it. We're giving people the permission slip to do that. And we're not seeing ourselves as wealth management advisors. Like I said, they're a dime a dozen. Everybody's a wealth management advisor. We see ourselves more as confidence coaches. I'm your confidence coach. I'm going to give you confidence that when you stop working, you start taking money out of your plan, and there's a lot of pressure on that. There's something called sequence of returns. If there is a significant market downturn in the 5 years preceding your retirement, or the first 5 years of your retirement when you're pulling money out, income out from your nest egg, you may never recover from that. You may run out of money after 13, 14, 17 years in retirement, yet you're going to live 30. So what are you going to do? And, you know, the analogy that I like to use for that is I say, you know, a lot of wealth management advisors say to their clients, well, we're going to do a Monte Carlo analysis. And the Monte Carlo analysis says this plan has an 84.37% chance of working, or this one is more conservative. It has a 96.35% chance of working. And I say to them, what would you do if you were on an airplane and you were going to fly from New York to Florida and the pilot got on the air and he said, ladies and gentlemen, it's a beautiful day here in New York, but it's even better in Miami. It's a sunny, balmy 84 degrees, and there's a light, you know, breeze. And we have a 92.37 chance of landing safely in one piece. What would you do, Ted? I know. I'm like, out the exit door. I always like to sit next to the exit door. You know, like, I'm down the chute.
Right. right. Exactly. So, okay. So, tell me why you said that. Why that? It's a great analogy. Tell me why that's relevant for your clients.
Well, the best example I could think of is you think of the movie The Right Stuff, and if anybody is a fan of, like, you know, space and aeronautics, it tells the story of Jim Lovell and NASA and how when one of our early, you know, rocket ships got stuck on the dark side of the moon and all the power, you know, on the ship failed, and they had to figure out how to re-engineer things and take, like, the toaster oven or the microwave and, you know, get, like, a certain amount of volts of energy from that and maybe, you know, turn the propulsion off, you know, in intervals, anywhere they could just gather some power because they needed to rocket around and thrust around the dark side of the moon as the gravity pulled them back to Earth. And what NASA said to Jim Lovell, who was the commander of the mission, he said, "Commander, don't worry. Failure of the plan is not an option. And failure of a retirement plan, you know, of money lasting for 30 years or more in retirement, and all those Saturdays I talked about, is not an option for our clients. Most wealth management advisors do a plan where they show you living to age 90, 92, 95. We don't do a plan that lasts less than age 100. We believe that people are living longer. They're living longer than ever before. You're about to see the census data from 2020 released. If you go back to 1900, the average life expectancy was 47. In just 100 years, we increased that to about 79, 80. And we are all going to see in our lifetime life expectancy increase because of all the advances in medical technology, in the elimination of many cancers. We came up with a vaccine in less than a year, this new mRNA technology, the mapping of the DNA in chromosomes, the sharing of the community, of the world community, of people coming up with cures for disease. If you eliminate Lori's doing a fundraiser. If we eliminate breast cancer in women, right, that adds 3 years of longevity to women alone. Heart disease, diabetes, all these things were on the verge of breakthrough. We are all living in the greatest time in the history of mankind. I know it doesn't seem like that for everybody, but I think we all really need to plan to live 3 to 4 decades in retirement, and we're going to need to plan to have money for later and much, much later.
Those are great words, definitely great words.
Thanks, Ted. So I'm still looking forward to the part where you said we're going to be taking some questions from some people. You know, I'd love to hear what the audience out there is thinking of and what they're thinking about. And, you know, not that we can solve any problems right now, but I'm really looking forward to that part.
Let me give out the number again. Anyone would like to call in. If you're hearing what Stephen is saying and you have a question, even if you already have someone who you call a wealth manager, or especially if you're younger and you think this is something that you're going to do someday, one day in the future, the phone number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640.
Ted, while you're waiting for any of those calls to come in, what I would just mention is, yeah, you're right. A lot of people have other financial advisors, and, you know, we're very, you know, we honor those relationships. You know, people have done work together, and they've done good things. And what we always want to do is, even if somebody has a plan, we want to put ourselves in a secondary position to be their backup supplier in the event any of their existing relationships should falter for any reason. And that reason could be their advisor retires, you know, gets ill, dies prematurely, leaves the business. You know, right now the age of the average advisor in this country is about 56. So within the next 10 years, 50%
wow.
of the current advisors
right.
who are credentialed are going to be retiring. So a lot of people are
wow.
going to have to think about who's the next generation that's going to be handling my money, because the trip down the mountain is a lot different than the trip up the mountain. Going down a mountain
right.
could be a lot more treacherous than climbing up one.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, with your clients who do have a much higher net worth, you know, $10 million or more, are you still taking them through flow? I mean, or are these people who generally are very savvy when it comes to managing their money and wealth, and they don't, they are not susceptible to lifestyle creep?
Right. Well, that's a great observation, because we have many people like that. We manage family wealth, family offices for people. We do handle very big accounts north of, you know, $10 million for sure. We use flow differently. Typically what happens is we start off in calibration. They're not looking to become better savers. There may not be a concern for cash flow. A lot of the retirees that I work with, especially now in a pandemic, they have more money coming in than they can even spend. So we're talking to those clients about their gifting strategies, how to maximize their annual exclusions, the fact that everything that they own in their name, which is like above the line, I'll call it above the line, it's in their estate. At some point, what we have to do is we have to get their insurance and their assets below the line. That would be out of their estate. So we work with a lot of attorneys and accountants. The attorneys are elder law, estate planning, some of the brightest minds. I work with some of the best attorneys in the country that are creating, you know, strategies. In the New York area, people lost the ability to deduct fully limitations on the SALT deduction to $10,000. A lot of clients were deducting 35. 50, 60, even 90,000 in some of the offshore communities that we deal with. We work with attorneys that came up with strategies to set up trusts that are totally legal, nothing that goes against
right.
any commonly accepted
right.
rules. And wealthy people, the affluent, are always going to find ways, you know, to save money on taxes. And if you think about what's going to happen in the next 5 years, it doesn't matter, you know, what your persuasion is, what party you support. We all see all of the liquidity was pumped into the, you know, the economy and the government this year. There's $2 trillion sitting in the sidelines in cash that people are just going to be spending on vacations and purchases and cars. But what's happening already is that we see, you know, expenses are going up. Inflation's not coming. It's already here. The price of a 2x4 one year ago was $2.50. It's now over $9. If you go to buy a piece of plywood, like you put on your roof when you redo your roof, it's $120
right.
for a piece of plywood that might have cost $20 a year ago. And if you need PVC piping or fencing, there's a supply chain disruption. So higher taxes are coming. You know, inflation is here. And I say to people, who is helping you with that? Who's going to help you with those decisions? How are you going to position yourself? And will you be able to leave a legacy after living a retirement well-lived?
Interesting. So now with that said, let's talk about wealth strategies for your children. So what are some things that wealthy people do that, let's say your average person thinks it's not available to them when they have
right.
children, and you can start from birth, you can start wherever you want.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. There's a lot of things you can do. For people that live in, you know, New York State, many of them consider 529 plans. I used to sell those, but then New York State and many states came out with these state-sponsored plans, which you could go direct without paying an upfront sales load or commission or fee. I tell all my clients to do that. You know, New York State has a direct plan. They should fund it. Grandparents can use their annual exclusion to fund college, get money out of their name, help their children out.
What's the 529 plan?
It's a college savings plan. That's part of the Internal Revenue Code, 529. And, you know, you can put money in there. There's limitations on what a grandparent can put in, but money that goes in there does not get taxed each year. There's no 1099 that you get taxed on the growth. And when you take the money out, if you use the money for higher education for either that child, a sibling, or even a cousin, or if they don't use it, you can even use it for yourself if you went to higher education, got an advanced degree or college or grad school or anything like that, it comes out tax-free. However, if you take it out and you don't use it for higher education, there's a penalty of 10%, which for some people that was great because they didn't get a 1099 for 10 years. The problem with 529 plans
is that can you put money in there pre-tax?
No. Money goes into a 529 plan after tax.
After tax. Okay. All right. Sorry.
Yes.
Keep going. Just check.
Yeah. And there's other types of investments that are, you know, also, you know, pre-tax good for younger people. A Roth IRA is something that you want to be doing in the early years of your working. There's income limitations on Roth IRAs. You're probably not going to be able to do it as you get older because there's a phase out for individuals and couples. So you want to put as much as you can into a Roth IRA in your younger years. That's a great financial engine. It's one of the things we do with Flow to help people fund that over the course of the year, not have to come up and scramble with the money at the end of the year. And there's also permanent life insurance. Permanent life insurance is a great thing to do when a child is born. It's a great gift for a grandparent. It's for people to start off. You don't need a lot of money to do it. And then if you look at over a 20 or a 30-year period, by the time that child, if they don't use it for college, which you certainly can, all dividends can be taken out tax-free. If you don't use it for college, you can use the money for a down payment on a home in your late 20s or early 30s. And if you don't need it for that, you know, you always have life insurance protection and money that'll move through you through time on a tax advantage basis. So there's many different things people
can
do.
Can you use that life insurance policy? Let's say the child says, hey, I want to start a business. Can they use it for that?
Absolutely. And you're only limited by your insurable and financial interest. So there's no strict guidelines other than, you know, what's the insurable interest? And, you know, how much insurance does the parent own? You can't just buy any amount of insurance coverage on your child. They won't allow it. It's usually a percentage. It could be 25%. So let's say a parent has $1 million. The most you can buy is $250,000. So there are rules in place. But most people that buy insurance on children, they're buying it not for death benefit protection. They're buying it for cash value, access, liquidity, accumulation, and safety.
And it gives your child a head start in life.
Absolutely. And then at a certain point in time, you could transfer ownership from yourself, from the parent or grandparent, to the child when they become responsible and they understand. But it's a great footing. It's one of those foundations I talked about earlier in creating wealth. You know, you worry in order. You do things that are solid. These companies have been around for well over 100 years, and there's a reason why they've survived world wars. They've survived economic crises. They've survived, you know, probably 20 or 30 pandemics and other events, wars, you name it. These companies have stood the test of time. And things like permanent whole life insurance are a great they're a great way for people to put money away. I will not call it an investment. It's not an investment, but it is a source of savings. It's protected from creditors, and it's a great source of cash for unexpected life events or expected life events like college, purchasing a home, or a wedding.
Right. Yeah, there's another one, weddings, right? Exactly.
Weddings are expensive these days.
Wow. And I think some people do know they can purchase a life insurance for their newborn, but I think a lot of people don't know that about some of the restrictions of 25% and what you can use it for, and it's tax-free. I mean, it's a great right. way to give your child a head start in life. So if they're purchasing a home, or you know, they may decide they want to purchase a multi-unit rental property with it, you know, out the gate, they've got,
exactly.
you know, they've got some money to put down on it.
Right, or another one of my hobbies, Ted, is I'm into 4x4 beach buggies, and, you know, that's an expensive hobby. There's many other, you know, biking is not inexpensive. Whatever they decide they want to do, you know, whatever their passion is, it's just great to have this, you know, residual source of money that moves through time. And the beautiful thing about it is that, you know, whole life insurance, unlike 2 days ago in the stock market, whole life never has a bad day.
That's, yes, you know, you can end up with ulcers, right, worrying about fluctuations in the stock market.
Yes, well, a lot of our clients, you know, have distributed their wealth evenly. Half their money goes into, you know, market-based assets like the ones we described, the structured portfolios, the Roth IRAs, mutual funds, all that stuff, you know, exchange-traded funds. But the other half goes into promise-backed assets like treasuries, permanent life insurance, annuities, both fixed and variable. Those are things that we refer to as promise-backed. And if you knew that a market crash was coming, you know, next week, how much of your money would you want in market-based versus what's in promise-backed? And most of my clients have settled
right.
on, you know what, Steve, you bring up a good point. I thought I was just going to go full throttle, 100% equities, but, you know, maybe I should only have 50% equities and 50% guaranteed, you know, money. And that's why when the pandemic came and I made
right.
those phone calls to all my clients, most of those phone calls were happy phone calls. They were not like, what do we do? You know, it's the disaster du jour. Do we need to get out? Do we need to change our portfolio?
Right.
And oftentimes it's too late to do that.
If you know the market's going to crash, you want to buy a bunch of puts and lap all the way to the bank, right? So
yep. But he who has cash, Ted, you know, is king. And when you have cash, you know, having that alternate source of cash, you know, and liquidity means that you've transferred risk off of your balance sheet, and that's what we help people
Absolutely.
To do: is transfer risk off of their balance sheet onto somebody else's balance sheet.
Hey, so Stephen, we've got like about 2 minutes left, and I just want to tell you, sometimes the callers get a little shy about some of these really like personal money is an intimate topic, and they like to really listen. So if you could give people a way to get in touch with you, that would be great. How can they contact you?
Okay, cool. So I'll give you a couple of ways. I mean, obviously, I have a Facebook page. It's Stephen D. Lichtenstein, C-L-U-C-H-F-C. My email is Stephen_Lichtenstein@fhfg.com. That's Stephen with a V, and Lichtenstein is spelled L-I-C-H-T-E-N-S-T-E-I-N. So it's Stephen_Lichtenstein@fhfg.com, as in Forest Hills Financial Group. Another way to reach me is to call me on my direct line, which is area code 718-475-5331. I'll repeat it one more time. It's 718-475-5331. And we look forward to hearing from you. My team, my flow strategists, my director of investments, we're here to help people figure out what their human life value is, what their potential is, help them build their reservoir, and plan for, you know, 30 years of Saturdays.
I love that. I've never heard it put that way, but it's a very valid thing to say. So I like 30 years of Saturdays. So
yeah.
I love your knowledge and your wisdom. Lori and I love having you on the show today. So thanks for joining us, Stephen.
I enjoyed myself,
yes.
Ted. Thank you, Ted, and thank you, Lori.
Thank you very much. And I know I didn't contribute a lot, but yeah, Ted is the expert on this one. So you guys provided a lot of information, and thank you. And everyone, we'll see you next Thursday. And don't forget to donate. Have a great weekend.
All right. Make it a great weekend.
Take care, everyone. Good night.
Bye-bye.